Hey, it's Jamie Sumner, left guard from 1994-95, and this is the Bunch of Nuts podcast with my boys Dan and Cass. Go Bucks.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. I'm Dan, here with Big Cass. You're listening to this now. It's Thursday night. Most of the games are already, you know, in progress or done. My bracket is already busted. Thank you, Michigan, for doing that. But it's been a pretty good day of March Madness so far.
Yeah, mine's busted because of Iowa. It's not totally busted. I mean, it is what it is. Yeah, it's been not too bad. I think I've lost two. I had Colorado State beating Michigan, and I had let me look at my bracket. This is for the Bunch of Nuts podcast.
Yeah.
By the way, winner gets a $50 gift card. One winner, $50 gift card to Fanatics. I'm picking that up this weekend. So, I am proud of our listeners. Majority of the listeners, either put their Twitter handle, their email address, or, you know, their first and last name. So people did follow the rules this year.
I just want to say I am currently first in our bracket in the Bunch of Nuts podcast bracket. And we had a good amount of people.
I'm sixth.
We had 37 total entries, 37 contestants, but I am number one right now. So y'all got to get on my level. But
I'm sixth.
If I'm number one, obviously whoever finishes second will get the prize.
Yeah. Same with me.
But it's going to change. But Michigan, I've only got one pick wrong so far. That was the Colorado State game. Which I give Colorado State credit. They played really well in the first half. Yep. They looked really good, but then Michigan was just so much bigger. Hunter Dickinson was so much bigger. But it's not really an upset in my book. I thought picking Colorado State was the underdog. And because Michigan was supposed to be a top 10 team going into the season, and they've just underperformed.
Yeah, they're just an underperformed team that could be clicking at the right moment. Could they be that Cinderella when it comes to seeding? I don't think so.
I don't think they're a Cinderella.
I think they'll get beat Saturday to Tennessee.
I had Tennessee, my Sweet 16. I had Tennessee. So, by the way, I do have Ohio State in my Final Four, which defies all logic. It's a dangerous
thing. Dan will not be winning the bracket.
I will not. If I win the bracket, that's why. I'm living and dying with the Buckeyes, and there's no reason for me to put Ohio State in my Final Four. Like, people listen to this and be like, this guy's crazy. And I'm like, I agree. I am crazy. But, like, in order to have a good bracket, I feel like you just have to pick the most random scenario. And I'm looking at that thinking, wow, that would be very random and unlikely, Ohio State making it to the Final Four.
That would be like Delaware pulling an Oral Roberts and a Long Beach State and a Lehigh. By the way, those were 15 seeds that beat number two seeds. All Middle Tennessee State, too.
Hey, right now it might be St. Peter's over Kentucky. So
I mean – in your instance, let's look at that. Let's look at the Buckeye scenario in your instance. Okay. The best case scenario for Ohio State to make to the Elite Eight, in my opinion, Delaware upsetting Villanova.
Obviously, I don't think they need that.
I do. Ohio State obviously beating the Fighting Sister Jeans, which, by the way, the Hag is older than the shoe.
Which is, yeah, that's unreal. Sister Jean is older than the horseshoe. When did that happen?
Sorry for calling her a hag, by the way.
She's public enemy number one. Like,
yeah. But yeah, going back to that, Tennessee would have to lose to Michigan, and obviously Ohio State would have to beat Delaware. And then Ohio State would have to beat Michigan. That would get them to the Elite Eight. Now,
but all right, hold on. We've already beaten Michigan. They've also beaten us. But Holtman has its number. He also, we don't have to play Delaware. Like, he has beaten Villanova before. We routed them a couple of years ago. And Holtman, a lifetime is 3-4.
I'm just saying this is the best case
against
scenario.
Jay Wright.
Well, this is one of the this best case scenario, in my opinion. All right, then we hope up in the top of the bracket, Illinois beats Chattanooga. UAB beats Houston, which I picked that, by the way. TCU beating Seton Hall. We know Arizona is not going to beat, is not going to lose to Wright State. But we'd have to hope for TCU or Illinois advancing and beating Arizona. And then we'd have Ohio State versus Illinois in the Elite Eight to get to the Final Four. That is the best case scenario for Ohio State because I don't think they match up very well against Arizona, but we know how to beat Illinois. We did it in their house.
Like people, when the bracket first came out, I absolutely hated it because we had Sister Jean in our first game. But then like the more I'm looking at it and the more I'm rationalizing it, I don't hate our draw at all. No. I think honestly, they're teams that we've beaten or we can be. They're not. There's not one superpower. The only superpower is Arizona. I guarantee you they will have been beaten by that. I know for a fact they are not going to – I do not have them in the Final Four. I think
– I have Arizona winning it all, by the way.
So I have – my path is I have Ohio State beating obviously Sister Jean, then Nova, and then if my thing works – there we go. Ohio State then faces Tennessee. I see Tennessee making a Sweet 16. I think they're a great team, but I think Tennessee's going to run out of gas just because they played a couple games the SEC tournament and then the quick turnaround.
They didn't shoot the ball well, even though they won by like 15. They didn't shoot the ball well against Texas A&M.
Yeah, no, and they played Longwood today. They smoked Longwood, but I was like, I was on the Longwood train. I thought they were going to pull off. That was my upset pick was Longwood, but clearly not. I actually do have Ohio State playing Arizona in the Elite Eight. Oh yeah. This is why I picked it. Cause it was a 2015 revenge game. In honor of D'Angelo Russell, the revenge game, because that's who beat us after that VCU game. So we get our vengeance to the Final Four against Providence. And then we lose to Providence, but That's my bracket. So my current bracket's Gonzaga, Kentucky, Ohio State, Providence, Final Four. I have Kentucky winning it all, and that's looking terrible right now because they're losing to St. Peter's. So
I have Gonzaga, UCLA, Arizona, and Auburn. Gonzaga and Arizona winning it all. And what's by the way, Gonzaga looked very suspect for for over half of that game. So I don't – Gonzaga doesn't scare me. Memphis will give them a fight. I will tell you that.
Memphis is a sneaky good team. And they're very athletic. They're 12 deep.
In that draw, UConn is a team – I know they're a 5 seed, but I think UConn can really, really make a deep run.
They're currently losing, but they're down 7 to New Mexico State. But – all right, I did also pick UConn, and I believe that. And I didn't pick New Mexico State because that's where Jaquan Lyle transferred to. And I'm like, okay, this cannot be a good basketball program. Like that was my logic. That was just my logic. I'm picking that. They needed Jaquan Lyle to be their starting guard. Therefore, by the transitive property, they are not a good program. Give me UConn.
Do you think Michigan State got the 7th seed for them to try to – I think Michigan State's going to beat Davidson. I really do. But do you think they wanted – do you think they wanted Michigan State versus Duke to see that one last time Tom Izzo, Mike Krzyzewski game?
I absolutely believe that. I think you're onto something there, Cass. But it's not going to happen because I have Davidson taking them down. I have the Foster Lawyer revenge game. He's going to hit like 7 threes. I'm having some of my buddies over tomorrow to watch the games all throughout the day. And that game's at 9:40. We're going to be so just drunk by then. But that's the game we're all looking forward to because we all hate Izzo. We're going to be cheering our hearts out for Davidson. We hope that Holtman doesn't kill all the momentum to start the day tomorrow, 12:15, first game. So a little nervous about that. But I do have them beating Davidson. I have a Davidson-Duke matchup. And I believe I have Duke in my Sweet 16. I was on the fence about putting Davidson in the Sweet 16. I was bold.
I was on the fence about putting Duke in the Final Four. I don't know. But so good news for the Buckeyes. They get Zed Key and Kyle Young. It looks like they're
huge.
They're a go.
Huge. Huge.
Which opens the door for Malachi Brennan and E.J. Liddell to get going. I don't think Loyola Chicago has good guards, which is good for us because we don't have good guards.
They got good players.
I think Ohio State's got to get up and run. And if they can get up and start running and hit some shots early, they'll wear Loyola down. But if we play Loyola's type of game where they want slow, they want that 60 to 55 victory, they'll beat us.
Yeah.
So I think Ohio State has to come out and just run the floor. Just run the floor and pass the ball and don't turn it over.
We do have better athletes. Loyola, you mentioned the guards. So Williamson, like Lucas Williamson, he's like their shooting guard. He's more of like a small forward type guard though. Like he leads them in rebounding, shockingly. Like what Loyola Chicago doesn't have, they don't have a true big man really. They have a couple big guys.
Oh, just like
guys.
Ohio State.
No, but like their leading rebounder is a guard who averages 5 rebounds a game. There's no reason why Kyle Young, Joey Brunk, or Zed Key shouldn't be banging down in the post. And I'm so hyped we get all three of them back. We have all three of them. I'm fine though with, you know, light minutes on maybe Kyle Young or Zed Key. Like we don't have to play them the whole, like, you know, they don't have to play a whole half. We can rotate them in and out. I have faith in all three of them. I think they should dominate on the glass tomorrow. I think Loyola does have the best guard, Braden Norris, the kid from obviously, of course, the kid's from Columbus. Just that's the way it goes, of course, with our luck.
That's always a story. There's always a story.
Always. So, yeah. He's their best guard.
Which his brother plays for Wright State, by the way.
Yeah. Williamson and Norris, they're basically shooting 40% from three. Not great free throw shooters, about 75% each roughly. So Loyola Chicago, not the greatest free throw shooting team, 71% solid, but they are very good defensively. I think here's my prediction, Cass. I think tomorrow, Ohio State, everyone's obviously, you know, Liddell and Brandon are going to do his thing. I think our bigs dominate. I think tomorrow though, a folk hero is going to be born in Ohio State lore. I think it's going to be the Cedric Russell game. I think Cedric Russell is going to come off the bench at one point and he's going to hit a couple big threes for us. And the crowd's going to go nuts. We're going to go nuts. The guy's a senior. He's been there. He's experienced. He's made big shots in big games. I think we're going to unleash Cedric Russell tomorrow. Maybe Arns gets involved too. I could see Arns having a big day, shockingly, because he realizes maybe it clicks that this is it. So I think Russell, Arns, Liddell,
Brandon. I think Brandon and Liddell will get will be your main scorers, but I think it's Eugene Brown coming off the bench.
Okay.
I think Eugene Brown comes off the bench, plays well defensively. It's scrappy. I think Liddell and Malachi Brennan, I think it's defensively is what Eugene Brown does. And I think Cedric Russell's going to hit a couple shots, and I think Wheeler's going to hit a couple shots.
I like that Eugene Brown pick you just said.
I was going with Justin Arns and Wheeler and Russell for Sunday, if we get to Sunday. Because knowing that they probably possibly will play Villanova if they get past Loyola Chicago, knowing that they get past that, that means that will click in their heads. Hey, this is it. Because we know the three of them, they're not going to the NBA. I don't even think Italy would want them at this point.
You're on to something there.
I think this is where it clicks. Say, oh man, I got to get going. And I think obviously you're going to get everything out of Kyle Young, no matter what.
Yeah, we're going to squeeze every last ounce out of Mr. Young.
I think you're going to get everything out of Malachi Brennan too, because somehow, some way, if we make a run, it's good. We know EJ Liddell is going to get his points. That's how great EJ Liddell is. for this team to make a huge run, it's Malachi Brennan. In my opinion, it's if him and Liddell can both put up 20-plus points, we're going to make far. We're going to go far. But yeah. if in the last five games where we only won one game in the last five games, where it was either Liddell scoring or Brennan scoring, we need if both of them are consistently scoring 17-plus points, we're making it far. Because that will prove right there how good this basketball team could have been. Even though we haven't had Justice Suing and Seth Towns all year, which I think that kind of saves Holtman's job despite if we lose tomorrow. Because knowing that Suing is gone, has been hurt all season. Seth Towns has been hurt all season. Kyle Young and Zed Key been on and off the court all season. Injuries really plagued this basketball team. And COVID plagued this basketball team down the stretch. I think that kind of saves Holtman's job at least. But he will definitely be on the hot seat going into next year if we lose tomorrow. But for us to have a huge deep run in this tournament and be a kind of a Cinderella story, Malachi Brennan and EJ Liddell need to be 20-plus points a game.
What's insane about this, too, is this game is a pick 'em. It's we're the 7 seed, they're the 10 seed, and it feels like Ohio State's the underdog here. And it's we're more talented, which is crazy. We're more talented. This game's a pick 'em.
And we finally rested, too?
We are. No, it's been – we went from playing, averaging 3 games a week from the past, basically almost 3.5 weeks of the season, like basically playing a tournament style schedule for the last 3 weeks of the regular season, to now our guys have had a full week off from Thursday night to a Friday morning, a full 7 days off of rest to get healthy. I don't think people understand how big that is. I think this team is prime now. Losing to Penn State, I think, was the best thing. If we win tomorrow, losing to Penn State was the best thing that's happened to this team because it lit a fire under the players.
I would say Monday when Dan gets ready to do his article for the Silver Bulletin, it will state, this is what it will say, after we win tomorrow, we beat Villanova, I'm going to be confident. If we beat Loyola Chicago and beat Villanova this weekend, Dan's article will be about why losing to Penn State in the first round of the Big Ten tournament was the best thing for this basketball team.
Honestly, I think it was. I think it truly was. And I just want to also point out, too, that I'm pulling it up. Yeah, the money line, just from like a betting perspective, money line was OSU minus 118, Loyola Chicago minus 102. The spread was Loyola Chicago plus 1, Ohio State minus 1, and the over-under is 132.5. So what is 132.5 divided by 2? 60. So this is going to be a low-scoring game. 60. They're just basically saying both teams are going to score about 66. First one to 70 wins this game. That's what I just want to point out. First one to 70 wins this game.
Again, for this team to make a deep run, it's Malachi Brennan and EJ Liddell.
We need a third guy to come off the bench and provide – because what's going to happen
get 12 points.
Exactly. 12 to 15 points off the bench or something from someone, an unsung hero. It could be Kyle Young, because Kyle Young honestly does provide
that. And it could be a different guy. And if we get past Sunday, it could be a different guy every – both games.
Yeah.
Like Dan is saying, Cedric Russell this week. Offensively, I would have to – I'm going Wheeler offensively for tomorrow's game, but obviously I think defensively it'll be Eugene Brown coming off the bench.
It has to also, I like to point out, efficient points, not just 17, like not just like 12 points. And then you look, it's like, well, Jamari Wheeler went 4 for 16 on shooting, and he had 12 points. That's not what we need. We need 12 points from like 4 for 8 shooting or something, like, you know,
or 4 for 10, or I would say, yeah, 4 for 10.
Efficient points, not empty.
Or getting to the free throw line.
Yes,
knocking down your shots. I mean,
that's one thing that does concern me though. The refereeing, because we did see it in the Iowa game today, the Iowa-Richmond game. The refs were terrible. And I'm happy Richmond won because I had them. But everyone who has Iowa, you have an absolute right to complain there, because they missed like 7 to 10 calls in the second half.
But
like,
bad calls are part of games, and you have to overcome. That's my number one rule. You can't always blame refs. No matter what, I mean, my Bengals lost the Super Bowl. You could arguably and say the refs had some bad calls in that game, but it went both ways.
The only game you can blame the refs is the 2020 Fiesta Bowl.
The 2019 Fiesta Bowl.
Yeah, yes. What 2020 2019.
Well, that Ohio State did not score in the red zone either, by the way. But I'm glad that the Big Ten refs won't be involved anymore. So that's what I'm happy with. The most inconsistent group in college basketball. But again, I think I want to see the Duke Ohio State team. I don't want to see the Nebraska Ohio State team.
Well, what I loved about that Duke Ohio State team is that they didn't give up. They stuck to a plan. They kept digging away. Even when it looked bleak and we were about to leave, they kept like chopping at it, working basically the fouls, the free throw.
How about
game.
We get the Michigan State Ohio State team?
That is the team we need. We need that. If we get that team, we're going to at least the Elite Eight. Like, if we get that team 3 games in a row, that's Elite Eight right there. But I mean, I'm feeling, and I hate to say this, I'm feeling very confident. And that's not good. You know.
I'm not feeling confident. So I'm usually the confident one. So
no, I haven't felt this confident, Cass, since prior to the Duke game. Now the Duke game was a roller coaster, but prior to the game, I was probably one of the only few people in Columbus that was like, oh, we're gonna beat Duke. Just you gotta trust me on this. I think you gotta trust me on this. I think we're going to – and this is the best part too. We all hate Holtman right now, like collectively. Like, we're all sick of Holtman. He's going to get us to like the Elite Eight, I think, at minimum, and he's going to save his job for like 3 or 4 more years. I think this is the year where like he saves himself. And then we'll be in the cycle for another 3 or 4 more years, because he gets a recruiting class next year, and then he can kind of be mediocre. But I think this year, Elite Eight at least.
Think Sweet 16 at best, but I have them one and done. I have them winning and then losing. That's just,
it's the Holtman special.
It's the reality of what it's been.
It's the Holtman special. It's, look, I will say this though, if we are up, let's say we're up like 10 and we somehow lose in the last 2 minutes, get him on the bus, like leave him at the Greyhound bus stop.
leave him in Pittsburgh.
Leave him there. If we implode tomorrow, we're burying me. Like,
if we lose badly to him, I'm done with him.
Yeah, we also need to go over that. Like, if we just either get embarrassed or we choke, look, don't tweet at the players. Don't tweet fucking death threats at EJ Liddell again, guys. Like, please don't do that. That was really bad last year. But like, Holtman's got to go if that happens.
Yes. I know we weren't going to do this, but I do want to shout out Emily Ruck for a no-hitter for softball against UMass 8-0 over the weekend. So softball doing their thing. I know they split their doubleheader yesterday, but Emily Ruck, no-hitter, was the 19th. Overall, no-hitter for Ohio State softball. That's the only spring sports update I'm giving you, because there's just too much going on. But that's the only thing. I just wanted to throw a shout-out to her.
Yeah, that's great. My mind's on basketball. I mean,
yeah, mine is too.
I can't. I've been watching so much basketball today. And last, by the way, the Rutgers Notre Dame game. Did you catch that?
No.
One of the best.
Before you get into that, I'm glad Indiana won because I had them advancing into the next round. I would have looked like a fool picking whoever they beat. Yeah, I would have been out. Had
Wyoming.
Yeah, Wyoming. So yeah.
Which? Why was there so many Wyoming fans in Dayton? That's that. I gotta ask that question. Why there was like a whole Wyoming contingent in Dayton?
I want to ask you this real quick. I don't know, but that was weird. I want to ask you this. Why are we doing a play-in game for the 11 seeds? Why can't we just have play-in games for 16 seeds? There's no reason why Rutgers, Notre Dame, and Indiana, with the names that they are, should be 11 seed play-in games.
No, and this is a highly controversial topic, but you don't want that. I disagree. Because I think the 16 seeds shouldn't have the play-in games. Because if you win your conference tournament, like, why do they get – my alarm just went off. Why do they have to play in play-in games when you won their conference tournament? Make them like a – because if you make them a 14 seed, you just basically bump someone down a little bit, a seed or two. And then we do the play-in games for like – if we have – what is it? 8, like 11 seed quality teams. Should have been playing in a play-in game.
My biggest thing is Toledo and OU – finished better than Akron in the regular season. OU was 24-9 overall in the season. Toledo played in the NIT tournament. OU didn't even play in the NIT tournament. Why couldn't Toledo and OU be playing like Michigan for a play-in game? Like, that doesn't make sense.
They have to fix it because it's no one watches the 216, the 216 versus 16 games. Like, I watch it, but I'm not like, wow, this is exciting. I'm like,
yeah, let's watch Bryant.
This is stupid because they're going to get absolutely massacred.
Let's watch Bryant and Wright State. Like, come on.
It's so stupid. It's like these guys are just playing this to get massacred the next game. Like, this is the dumbest thing ever. I want to see like teams that could actually make a run. So I think they need to put like bubble teams.
How about you just get rid of it?
No, I think they need to just change how they go about it. Just put the bubble teams in the play-in as opposed to the 16
seeds. What if you expanded the tournament to, 72? You add in 4 more games, and the number one seeds get a bye.
That's interesting. I don't hate that. I really don't. But then you're just – I'm not saying you're watering it down because you can't really – you can't water down.
But you would still have your play-in games.
Yeah, I think that might be a way to approach it. They
get 72, and your number one seeds get a pass.
Look, it's the NCAA, so whatever the best idea is, they're just going to take that and just do the exact opposite. And this is what we have. 16 versus 16 twice. It's terrible.
Just like they can't agree on a college football playoff thing.
Exactly.
That honestly, that's another conversation for another day with the college football playoff day. It's things that won't change. It's not going to change. We just have to deal with it. I just don't like – why do they have to be – like, why couldn't – how about – like, if you're going to do playing again, Indiana used to be a blue blood. The 70s and 80s, dude, in the early 90s, Indiana basketball was like Ohio State football.
Explain this to me. Indiana had a better record, I believe a better Big Ten record, and they just
beat Michigan.
Somehow Michigan got in at the 11th seed, and then Indiana had to play. They also got 11th seed, but they had to do a playing game. How does that make sense?
Rutgers the same way. Rutgers was the number 4 seed in the Big Ten tournament.
Notre Dame, I think, was like the second
seed in the ACC.
Yeah, the two or third seed in the ACC. They're in a play-in game.
Why couldn't you do the play-in games like who were some of these 12 seeds? Okay, I'm going to look at some of these 12 seeds. Richmond could have been a play-in game.
They won their conference tournament, though. So they don't –
Okay.
You don't deserve to play in a playing game there.
You don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. Vermont won theirs. Davidson. They didn't win theirs.
I don't believe they did.
No.
Like Jacksonville State.
Davidson.
Like Jacksonville State. They didn't even This is a very rare scenario, but they got in by default because the team that won their conference tournament was ineligible, and then it goes to the third team. So they didn't win their – like, and they're a 15 seed. How are they not a 16 seed? I would say I'm looking
– New Mexico State didn't win theirs.
How is Virginia Tech an 11 seed? They won the ACC.
Like, you could have had your playing game. You could have had New Mexico State.
Iowa State's an 11 seed. That would be a good playing game.
You could have had Davidson versus New Mexico State, because Boise State won the Mountain West, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay. Davidson versus New Mexico State. Dang, some of these schools won their conference title game.
I absolutely hate my life right now because it looks like St. Peter's is going to beat Kentucky because they're at this point, there's 7 minutes left in the second and they're up eight. I mean, they're up two on Kentucky. So I just know from experience St. Peter's is going to win this game.
Did UAB win their conference tournament?
They did. They did. They have that dude Jelly or whatever. Jelly is their point guard. Electric.
What about – you could have done Creighton.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they did make it to the Big East final, but that's a great team I think you could put in to play in a game. I do agree there, Cass.
Davidson, New Mexico State, Creighton.
We could throw you I don't want them to play in a playing game, but I would love to watch them play. It's just UCLA in a playing game because I just love watching them.
They did last year.
They did. That's why I'm going to throw UCLA in there. They'll be fine. They'll thrive.
Didn't they have, like, three overtimes or something like that?
Yeah, they played Michigan State. They beat Michigan State.
UCLA and Michigan State in a play-in game.
That was a really good play a game, though. That was honestly, now I'm remembering it, that might have been just as good as the Rutgers-Notre Dame game.
Rutgers-Notre Dame. Oh, lordy, lordy, lordy.
I am excited for tomorrow.
Yeah, I am too.
I'm ecstatic. The vibes are very positive right now, but you'll know by what I'm tweeting during the game, you know, how I'm feeling. I might go live at one point during the game. I'm not sure. But what's your prediction tomorrow, Cass? Cause as we wrap it up, score prediction.
Going 73 Buckeyes.
I'm going 73 Buckeyes, 72 Loyola, and Cedric Russell. EJ Liddell hits the game winner.
I don't think it'd be that close.
I think it's gonna be real. I think it's gonna be a. I think it's gonna be a dogfight and a classic. I think it's gonna be this is gonna be a classic game we're going to remember. We're going to pull up the random Twitter clips like 10 years from now. I see that.
I just think Ohio State wants something, needs to go. I think they want to go out and prove something.
I do too.
I think they want to go out and prove something. And I think they're going to have a big game out of EJ Liddell and Malachi Brennan. And I think Jamari Wheeler or Cedric Wessel are going to hit a few, maybe both of them hit a couple good shots. And we come out with a 12-point victory. But it's going to be a hard-fought 12-point victory. It's going to be one of those things where it's like Ohio State is up by 6 with a minute 30 to go, and Loyola has to keep fouling.
Oh, I like that. I like that. Okay. I can see that. So what you're saying is take Ohio State alternate line minus 6. That's even a real line.
Whatever that means.
That's a betting. I might put that betting cast now. That's like, I like that prediction. That's like my Clemson prediction a couple of years ago when I was like, oh, we're going to beat Clemson by more than 2 touchdowns. And we did. and that bet hit huge, I think I might put that bet in now, because now I'm feeling confident because you're sensible.
Oh, Lordy. So, yeah, it's good. It's a great time of year. St. Patrick's Day tonight, as you're listening, I'm wearing my Buckeye Leaf green shirt.
I'm wearing my Jackie Moon Flint Tropics penny.
By the way, did you happen to see him warm up with the Golden State Warriors?
I did.
That was like the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
It was funny. But yeah, I hope everybody's having a happy St. Patrick's Day. Hopefully everybody's enjoying the tournament. Great. A lot of basketball. One of the best time of the year. I'm going to break this down for you. I don't think I've actually really explained this to Dan or anybody, but I explained this to guys at work I work with, who I'm going to miss dearly in a couple after a couple weeks, since I just got a job promotion where I'll be working at home. I explained this to my wife. To me, the sports calendar begins at March Madness. Here's why. March Madness kicks off the sports calendar for me. Goes right into playoff NBA playoff basketball and the NHL playoffs. Then you go into the deep summer with the NHL finals and the NBA finals. Baseball hits the All-Star break. You know what happens after the All-Star break? NFL training camp. Then you know what happens while NFL training camp? Preseason games, then college football training camp. Then high school football starts, college football starts, NFL starts. Then you go in, and in between that, hockey and basketball start. The Super Bowl ends the sports calendar, because in between the Super Bowl and March Madness, all you have is regular season basketball and regular season hockey.
All you have is me just complaining that the Buckeyes are sliding in February.
That's true. That too. But if you really think about it, March Madness, the NCAA tournament, kicks off the sports excitement calendar, and it ends with the Super Bowl.
I like that perspective. I do agree. It's
because honestly, after the Super Bowl, yeah, you got
Daytona 500. It's maybe the Olympics.
Dying sport. But honestly, after the Super Bowl, you have regular season college basketball, which is getting exciting, transitioning into the tournament. Then you got NBA basketball and hockey, who are still in the mix of their all-star breaks, and nothing really exciting until after March Madness when the playoffs hit. Boom. Sports calendar.
I love it. But
and the only person who ever think about that is Cass.
It's Cass's random thoughts. I love it.
Cass's random thoughts. By the way, Tennessee Jeff is going to become his granddaughter's soccer coach. We need to find out where those games are. Go sit way back in the back and just – I want to see him coach one game. His granddaughter's like four. So guarantee it, his granddaughter's team name will be the Buckeyes. And it's going to be great stuff. We got to find out where them games are going to be played.
Yeah, absolutely. That should be interesting for sure.
But yeah, go Bucks tomorrow. Beat go Sister Bucks. Jean.
Go Bucks. Yeah, go Bucks. Let's put the nail in Sister Jean's coffin. That's the motto. It's a little mean, but I mean, she's gonna outlive us, so it's fine. But let's put the nail in her coffin, and not the nail in my coffin. All right, like I said, if we lose tomorrow, I'm getting buried. It's the burial. If the Buckeyes let me down, I'm getting buried. We gotta bury Sister
Jean. This guy.
Yeah, it's we're gonna bury Brutus. Like, we gotta win for my sake. So as always, thank you so much for listening to the Bunch of Nuts podcast. Go Bucks. Beat Sister Jean.
Go Bucks, everybody.